Welcome to the Sisters in Service podcast. My name is Kat Corchado, also known as the voice connecting women veterans nationwide. This podcast is for anyone connected with the military, from veterans, male and female, military spouses, military brats, even parents who may have children who are in the military. As an Air Force veteran, I understand the trials and triumphs that women veterans go through in service and out of service. And so I wanted to find a way that I could put it out there into the airwaves and let everyone know what we're going through and find a way and a solution to what's happening to us in the service. I also like to highlight these women who are business owners, they're entrepreneurs, they're bosses in their business. And so I hope that you will follow me, you will share, and you will subscribe to this podcast, which comes out every week on Tuesdays. And as always, please stay safe, take care of each other until next time, and it's never too late to start your impossible. Welcome, Sisters in Service, to another episode of our program. You know me, I'm Kat Corchado, and today we are talking with Ann James. Now, let me preface this a little bit. We want to talk about military families that had special needs kids. And the reason this came up was through a conversation that I had on Clubhouse with someone else who had talked about how hard it was having a special needs child. And I thought, wow, if it's hard for her, and I know that it's hard in general, what is it like for active duty military? So Ann is here to shed a little light on it because I wanted to know more. So Ann, welcome.
Thanks, sis. How are you?
I'm so good. It's good to see you. She's just been all over the internet, y'all. You know, every time I open Facebook, she's there. So.
Well, you know, got to do the dang on thing. And I, every time I open Clubhouse, I'm getting pinged by you. So
you're
so
welcome.
There you have it. Exactly.
So, Ann, tell us a little background. So you had your child while you were in the military, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a proud Air Force retiree. Joined the Air Force right out of high school. You know how that is. And then, I found myself stationed overseas. I mean, Italy, actually. And I fell in lust. That's right. I said lust. and so from that, you know, our beautiful daughter was born. He was my daughter's father. He was also Air Force at the time, you know, but like many military relationships, it couldn't work, that type of stuff. But so I had my daughter while I was stationed in Italy at the ripe old age of 22. I was 22 when I had her. Yeah.
So when did you know that, or did you know that she had some kind of disability?
Yeah, Kat, how that basically came about is, you know, I noticed that my daughter, maybe about, I don't think she was maybe 2, 3, 4, that she wasn't talking the way, you know, that other kids at her age or whatever. So I kind of chalked that up to, she did everything late, like she walked later than normal, I guess. But, you know, I was like, when you take them to daycare, you know, and stuff like that, that type of stuff kind of tends to stand out. So I noticed that she wasn't, you know, speaking, you know, words or, you know, like the other kids. And this day forever changed my life. You know, I remember sitting in the doctor's office, you know, her name is Kayla. We was playing around on the floor or whatever. And then the doctor came in. And I don't even remember everything. I just remember seeing his mouth moving and stuff like that. But all the words that I heard, she was developmentally delayed, you know. So back then, and we're talking about, and I'm going to date myself in the 1990s, right? So I was like, what does that mean? You know, will she ever be normal? You know, will she have to live with me forever, ever, you know, type stuff? That's the type of stuff that ran across my mind. And, yeah, I just remember him saying that. And yeah, that was just life changing for me. And from the doctor's office, I remember being in the car. I was, stationed in Italy at the time. But I remember riding home and it was like my mother, even though she wasn't there, I felt like she was in the car with me, you know, and she was like, I just remember her saying that you always have to be in a position to take care of your children. you know, no matter what. And I was a single parent, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he was in her life, but, you know, it fell on me. I just remember my mother always said that to me growing up. You always have to be in a position to take care of your daughter. You always have to be in a position to take care of your child, I should say. And it was at that point I realized that financially I wasn't ready. You know, I was just crazy shopping. You know what I'm saying? You had the stability of the military paycheck, you know, that type stuff. So I had credit card debt. I had a car that I couldn't drive because it was a stick shift. But it was at that moment that I knew that my life was no longer about me. It was about this child that now had this diagnosis that I did not know what that meant. You know, I didn't know if it was something that could be, I don't know, fixed, or, you know, if it was lifelong. So yeah, my life changed at that moment.
I think it's interesting when you already have kids, you know, because I was a single parent too in the military. Okay. And you're right. You know, when you're a single parent, it's not about you anymore. It's about that kid. And absolutely, all the things that would run through my mind every time I would PCS and thinking, okay, I got to find a school. I got to find this. I got to do that. All those things that run through your mind, you know, not only just as a parent, but as a single parent. Now you're mm-hmm. a single parent with a child who has special needs. So when you got your orders to leave Italy, what was running through your mind? Were you thinking, you know, will I be able to find the right schools? Will I be able to find a babysitter? What kind of questions were running through your mind?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, because she was younger. So it was like, okay, what type of daycare, you know, can I find for her? Will she be safe because she's not able to communicate for herself, right? But thankfully, you know, the Air Force had the EFMP, the Exceptional Family Member Program, where they had to, well, they didn't have to, but before they PCS'd you, they looked at the installation to make sure that they had the services to meet your child before they sent you there. Because if not, then they wouldn't send me there. You know, so that kind of, you know, put me at ease, you know, knowing that there were services there. But yeah, it was all of those things that you mentioned. It was like, okay, it's just me. You know, what if I get recalled? You know, that family member plan, are there going to be people there to help me, you know, take care of her with these special needs? You know, that type of stuff. All of those things ran across my mind. If I can do it, you know, by myself, should I? I actually contemplated, Kat, you know, should I send her to her father, right, who was back by then stationed in the States? Because I questioned my motherhood, mm-hmm. right? Like, would I be able to do it by myself? You know, so I questioned stuff like that. You know, should I send her to her father? Should I send her to my mom? You know, that type of stuff. But yeah.
Well, I just found out about EFMP.
Yeah,
I just found out about it. That must have taken a huge load off of your shoulders, knowing that they're not going to send you someplace where your child couldn't thrive, and you can't really do your job because you're afraid for what's going to happen to her if those services aren't available. I love that EFMP. So. Yeah. That answers the question is, how did you find out if the services were available? So were there a lot of bases that had those services available, or did you ever get orders to someplace that they didn't have those services available?
Well, the main place that I got sent to involuntarily, but, you know, being in the military is one of those things, is when I got deployed to Iraq. You know, once again, my daughter was much older by then. She was, oh goodness, maybe 15 or so, but she was still special needs. Now it was autism, right? So you're talking about from the 90s when we got the diagnosis, you see, just developmentally delayed, to years later as things progress, you know, she's autistic. So when I got, you know, deployed to Iraq, you know, got notification that I was going to go to Iraq, the same thing. Here we go. And this was a year-long deployment.
So it didn't protect you from the isolated tours, did it?
No. So, yeah, that was the same type questions. Oh, my God. You know, can I leave my daughter? For what am I going to do for a year? Maybe I can get out. But I knew I wasn't going to get out because I was in by like 18 years in service by then. So Thankfully, you know, once again, still a great relationship with my daughter's father. And actually, in this case, I didn't want to because she was older and I was in South Carolina and they had the services. So I didn't want to uproot her, you know. So my mother decided to relocate from California all the way to South Carolina to help me with my daughter. So, you know, once again, just having that support put my mind at ease to be like, okay, well, if I got to do this thing, I might as well, I got to do it. But knowing that she was still at home in her same bed with grandma, you know, the same people there to help her. Stability is key.
Yes.
You know, and children with special, you know, either children or young adults with special needs, having that stability, that moving around and changing her environment. So it was key for me to provide as much stability as I could in her life. So with when my mother agreed to relocate after being in California for over 30 years, you know, so that really helped me. So that really was the main only tour that I had to serve where the services were not in place. But once again, like we said, the military, well, the Air Force, they did the work beforehand before they sent you there. So I knew, granted, not all the bases were, you know, ideal.
They like never Abilene. Are.
Yeah, right? Like Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. You know, I was going to get out at that point. I was a mess. I did not like that place. But, you know, but other than Germany, I went because from Italy, I went to Germany. They had the services there. But yeah, when I got deployed, that was another hurdle that I had to overcome when it came to my daughter.
Was EFMP the only resource that was available on base, or were there other resources on base?
Well, it was a main resource that I use, you know, the majority on base, I should say. I was, you know, off base a lot. You know, I lived off base, you know, that type of stuff. And my caregivers, they were off base. So I really kind of separated myself from the military installation, you know, besides, you know, healthcare, daycare, you know, some daycare, that type of stuff. But mainly for, you know, the services, speech therapy and occupational therapy, that type of stuff, I got seen off base. You know, but it was referrals, you know, from the base, that type of stuff. But, you know, the services, the additional services, I should say, was from civilian providers. Yeah.
I can say also being in the Air Force that, and I can't speak to other services, I'm sure they're just as good, but my son had become very, very ill. And he had gone to the hospital on base, and the base was like, we have no idea what this is. And thank goodness we were at Offutt Air Force Base, and they had teaching hospitals off base. So those awesome. Teaching hospitals were amazing. So I would think that, you know, especially in the Air Force, that they make sure your dependents are taken care of, because if not, you can't do the job that you're trained to do.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody, you know, I don't care what they say. Yeah, you know, it is service before self. We know that. But if your mind is on your family member, on your child, bump that. I mean, that's putting it nicely. You know what I'm saying? You might as well discharge me because I, you know, if I got to make a choice, I'm going to make the choice.
Absolutely.
Right. But it helps when knowing that, you know, having great supervisors and, you know, yes. the support and the childcare and the daycare. I can call people in the middle of the night. I mean, like 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, I got recall. Hey, can I bring Kayla? Bring her over. We're ready. You know, that type of stuff. So that really, you know, helped me. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm glad that it didn't come down to it and I was able to complete my service and retire. But if it came down to it, I would have walked away from it. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had great supervisors too that, in fact, a couple of bases, my supervisor's wife was the one who would watch my son and they would call and say, hey, we're taking Nate out to eat. And I was like, I want to go. Can I go too, please?
Absolutely.
So was there ever an instance where the situation with your daughter affected your military career at all? Or were you just, did you feel really blessed to have everything you needed at your disposal?
You know, I would say it's because of my daughter that I stayed in the military, right? Because of the resources. Because I was, you know, to be honest, I was afraid to get out. You know, I hate, you know, like I said, when I was at Dyess Air Force Base, I was like 8 or 10 years in, I was going to get out. I had orders in hand and everything. I hated it. So I'm glad someone sat me down and was like, "Ann, don't make a lifelong decision based off of people. You know, people come and go." Because of the, you know, resources and the medical and all of those things, it's because of my daughter that I stayed. You know, besides the tour to Iraq, you know, that's, I can't complain. You know, I've had the support. I had the support that I needed, you know, in regards to my daughter. Great supervisor. If she gets sick, hey, I can't take her to the daycare. Guess what? I got to stay home. You know, if you want me to take leave, I'll take leave, whatever type of thing. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to have great support like that.
Here's an off question for you. Did you have to fight the stigma of being a single parent in the military? Because when I went in, which was the early 80s, there was that old stereotype of single parents are, you know, they're never there because their child's always sick and they don't get the job done. So I had a lot to prove first and foremost. Yeah. Did you find that on top of what everything else you were going through with your daughter, that you also had to prove yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't want, if anything was more so on me, I didn't want anyone to think I'm a slacker, you know, just because I'm a single parent, I'm making excuses. You know, if my daughter's sick, she's sick. Just like if there's a married couple, you know, granted, you know, if it's a married couple, you know, you have that other person that might can stay home, that type stuff. I don't have that, but I've heard, you know, numerous times, oh, your dependent care plan, you know, that type. Yeah, okay, well, they're on vacation. You know what I'm saying? What am I supposed to do? Or we're talking about in the middle of the daycare calls, oh, she's sick. You got to go pick her up. So guess what? I got to leave. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So it's, you know, I felt it, but it was like, I really didn't give a, you know what.
Yeah, I had a situation where I've never had chicken pox. And my son had chicken pox, the school called, you know, so I worked in a communication center. So it was, you know, classified information, no windows, closed quarters, et cetera. Wow. So I went to my boss and I said, "Hey, this is going on." And he said to me, "Well, can't you get a babysitter who's already had chicken pox?" And I said, "Hold that thought." And I went over his head. I went to the lieutenant and I said, "Look, this is the situation." He goes, "How much time do you need?" I said, "Give me a week." He said, "Okay, done." And then my supervisor called me and said, "Oh, I was just joking." I'm like, "No, no, I don't joke like that. I'm so sorry.
Don't play with me. Don't get play out of with here.
Me. You just don't know who you're messing with."
Okay. Who that straight foolishness? Hey, you weren't joking. You know what I'm saying? That type of stuff don't just pop up in your head. That's what's in your heart that came out of your mouth.
Exactly.
You know, type of thing. So, you know. And, you know, and you bring up a good point, Kat, that you work, you know, in communication. And I'm fortunate that I worked in a career field personnel. I worked in finance. So, you know, whatever considered office type, you know, career field. So it was easier. So I know, like, unfortunately, individuals that security forces or they work on the flight line, you know, that type of stuff is harder for them because of the career field. I definitely get it. So I do, you know, I'm mindful of that. But it is what it is. You know, we had to do what we had to do. But yeah, I definitely didn't want anyone to think I was a slacker just because, oh, your daughter's always sick. Oh, you got to. Oh, yeah.
Do you think that the military now, specifically the Air Force, because that's what we have in common. Do you think there's more available to families with special needs kids now than when you were in the military?
Oh, I definitely do. I mean, I definitely, you know, just, you know, the technology and the different, just the different things. I know another individual I recently met like last year and her, she has a young son and he's, has special needs. And she was just telling me about, you know, all these programs, you know what I mean? Where they get additional funding, just different things. And I'm just like, wow.
Where was that? When I needed
I know, this. Right? I was like, I'm just, you know, happy to hear it. They have more advocacy, you know, on the civilian sector, you know, because it's just, and I'm glad that they kept up with the time, you know, as technology upgraded, you know, over the years, so did their services. From what I heard, you know, I've been retired for a minute, but, you know, just from the individuals, you know, that I've talked to and stuff, the research that I've read, I'm happy to see that it is changing, because it's, I don't want to say it's commonplace, but like you said in the beginning, just imagining, okay, your military service, right? That readiness, how ready are you going to be when your home life is chaotic, you know, and you're thinking about your child over here, and you throw disability, learning disability, whatever is mental, whatever other type of disability, and not just children. You know, some people have their parents as dependent, you know, see about as well. So to have to deal with that as well, I'm glad that they're keeping up with the times.
What kind of advice would you give to a young family or even a young woman who's in the military that you're speaking with and she's having a hard time? What kind of advice would you give to her or even to the family in general?
Yeah, I would probably say the first thing I would say is it's not your fault. Don't blame yourself. There's nothing that you did or didn't do for your child to turn out this way or however you want to say it. So I would say, you know, it's not your fault. I do believe that God gives special children to strong people because not everybody can handle it. Right.
Right.
So I do believe that. And I would just say, you know, just seek help. Don't try to. I'm one of those very independent. I was raised as an independent woman. So trying to do everything myself, try to be superwoman or whatever have you, you know, put your cape down and reach out and seek help because you can't do it yourself. And don't feel any shame for asking for help. Find that tribe and just surround yourself with good people. And don't be afraid to be, you know, your own advocate as well as your child's advocate, you know, both on the base and off base type of thing. So that's what I would, that's the advice that I would give.
I love that. Did you actually have any guilt after knowing your child had, well, whatever it is they used to call it, which is now called autism? Did you carry around any guilt about that?
Absolutely. That's why people ask me that all the time. My daughter is the only child. And they ask me why? Because I was afraid if I had another child, they would have special needs.
Mm. And I think single parents, okay, I'm just going to put it out there. We are superheroes. Okay. We have no choice. So when people say, oh, you're always multitasking. Okay. Parents in general have to multitask. They have to. Single parents have to multitask or you're not getting anything done.
Yeah.
Zero, period. And absolutely. I think, you know, being a young woman in the military, I learned how to advocate for myself because I had to advocate for my son.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't advocate for anybody else, you do advocate for your child. Just
loud. Put it out.
Right?
I always say it all the time. My daughter can't speak well. So guess what? Your girl gonna speak on her behalf and mommy can talk very loud. Okay.
So, and while we have a few minutes, tell us a little bit about you, you know, what you do, where people can find you, you know, tell us all the wonderful things that make up Ann James.
Oh, thanks, Kat. Yeah. Anybody that wants to find me, I'm on Facebook, Ann James, Instagram at Dr. Ann James, the same as LinkedIn. And right now, you know, after retiring from the military, I decided to become an entrepreneur because I knew that I never wanted to work for anybody else again. I wanted that freedom, you know, after 21 years of service, doing what I was told, dressing how, you know, all that type stuff.
All of that stuff.
Yeah, all of that stuff. I wanted freedom. But my ultimate love, like I said, you know, once my daughter got her diagnosis, I had to get my finances in order, right? And from learning, you know, from Dave Ramsey to Susie Orman, that type of stuff, I was able to, you know, crawl myself out of my money trenches and pay off over $300,000 in debt in like 3 years. So it is I'm on a mission to help my fellow veterans, specifically women veterans, you know, take command and control so they can conquer the battle over their finances. So that's why I became a certified financial coach, to just show individuals, if I can do it, a mother, a single mother of a special needs child, that anybody can do it. So if you find yourself in need of needing a battle buddy, that's the name of my business, Financial Freedom Battle Buddies. If you need a financial coach to help guide you on your financial freedom journey, please, I would love to talk with you. Reach out to me for a free chat to see if actually working, you know, with me could benefit you. And if not, that's fine too, right? It's not for everybody. But if you find yourself like finally sick and control, sick and tired of being where you are with your finances, you know, you try, you want to take vacations, you want to save for college for your child, but you just don't know where to start, then feel free to, you know, go to my website, www.drannjames.com, or anywhere on social media, and feel free to reach out to me. But, you know, that's what I'm doing, Kat, you know, because like I said, if I can do it, anybody can do it. There's no excuses for it. So, yeah. And don't get twisted because doctor is in front of my name. That came after, you know, after I retire. I'm a doctor of education, not a medical doctor. I like to say I'm your money doctor. I get your money right. You know, I have to caveat that because a lot of people think, oh, well, of course, you're a doctor, this and this and that. No, I started as an E1. Okay. So it wasn't, I served 12 years, then I switched over and became an officer. So most of my time is in the enlisted ranks. So I know both sides. So it's not about, you know, the initials in front or behind my name. It's about the Ann James, the one, like I said, whose daughter, Kayla, still lives with me to this day. Remember I said day one, I thought, yes, what does that mean? Yeah. Is she still going to live with me? Yes, she does. So if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Now, you also have a podcast, right?
I do have a podcast.
Girl, you weren't going to leave that out, were you?
My time, forget about it, though, guys. We had this conversation before we started now. You know, and pay the bills.
Come on, in case people want to listen in.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, my podcast is Freedom Battle Buddies of Color. And basically what my podcast does, Kat, and you've been on there, thank you so much, it is to highlight the experiences of women veterans of color, either those that are serving or particularly those that have transitioned out already, to talk about their experiences on the other side. We talk about everything freedom. That's the theme on my podcast. Well, you're talking about career freedom, financial freedom, identity freedom, right? Anything and everything freedom, but from the perspective of women veterans of color, because it's one thing to, as we talked about, to be a woman serving, right? It's something totally different when you throw that color on top, right? Yes. So I just really wanted to just shine a spotlight, you know, on those that that are serving, those that have served, those that have supported us. And similar to yourself, I'm going to have some special episode coming up of military spouses of color, military children of color, just everything to just shine a spotlight on our experiences because we serve too. So, yeah.
Can I just say that whenever I see the word doctor in front of someone's name, it just means to me that they spent a whole lot of time in school.
Yes.
They're like, they spent a lot of time and a lot of money. So when someone says, I'm Dr. Ann, I'm like, yes, I know. I totally understand why you want that doctor there.
Baby, I earned it. You know, I pull it out there every now and then. But, you know, once again, thanks to the Air Force, right? That GI Bill paid for that, because if it weren't for GI Bill, it'd probably just be Ann James, okay?
I'm just plain old Kat Corchado, but you know,
okay.
I'm okay with that.
At the end there, I'm okay with it too, but absolutely. It was a bunch of, you know, it was a hard work, but it pays off. It pays off.
It does. Well, yeah. Dr. Ann James, thank you so much for being here today and doing this segment with, you know, Sisters in Service, because I think it's important that even though I don't know or have the experience of the subject, that it's important for me to put it out there even more. So I learned something, whereas maybe I can pass it on to someone else, or someone says, you know, I need to talk to someone who has a special needs child. I know who to go to. I'm like, would you mind speaking to this person? So, you know, I'm always willing to learn, because I think if you stop learning, you stop growing. So for everyone out there, thank you so much for listening in. As always, stay safe, take care of each other, and it's never too late to start your impossible.